It is Naturalist Time on KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. This is Leo, and I have in the studio with me Michaela Rice for the Midwinter Edition.
Here we are.
Of what do we call it, Michaela? What do
we're stuck on wanderings right now.
Wanderings. Nature's wanderings or nature's wanderers. We're still looking, wandering around, looking for the ideal title. But meteorological winter, midwinter, came on Saturday, January 14th, Michaela. And as somebody who had a hard time getting started with winter, how are you feeling about having already reached the midway point, at least on the calendar?
I'm much happier about that. I have been able to really get out and enjoy the winter. The sun's been peeking out. The mild weather, of course, has probably helped my attitude as well. But yeah, I got to do some exploring last week at the park, and the beauty of winter has really been something I've been trying to appreciate. So I got to see some ice formations out on our picnic floe. So there's kind of a hot spot for some ice activity at the park, I think, because this flat bedrock that is a lava flow.
It's an amazing structure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's big.
What I tell people all the time at the park to go look at, because it's not one of our main attractions, you know, it's not like this magnificent waterfall, but in a way, the simplicity of this rock formation is just so cool. And you really have to, I don't know, spend some time out there to really appreciate what it is. There's a lot of little things you can see, these tiny little plants. We have these endangered plants, you know, we'll get into that in the summer. But anyway, it's a very, very cool place. Mimics this Arctic climate because it's so close to this big, cold body of water. But we get a lot of this back spray that sprays back onto these plants that have grown along this bedrock. So it's a lot of smaller shrubs like viburnum. We have some serviceberry out there, and then most of it's just grass, and it collects this water, you know, that builds up as ice.
Indeed.
And it's kind of like hoarfrost, but it's much thicker, and it's just pure ice crystals.
And is it built up layer by layer
after
continuous washings over of a little more fluid each time?
Yep. I haven't been down there in December to really see it build up. That'll kind of be my homework for next year. But I think especially with all the precipitation we've had in the last month, the crystals are pretty thick. And I haven't seen any of that at any other park I've gone to. When you go to Agate Beach or more by the mouth of the river, which is only 200 yards maybe away, but because of the structures and there's not that wide open shrubby habitat, the ice just doesn't stick to things as much. It's covering all the rocks. It's cool to see, but the way that it sticks to the plants and creates all these different ice structures is pretty amazing.
Is it slippery going to get out on the picnic flow?
Yes, definitely have to wear those cleats.
Those traction devices that go over your
shoe. Sliding, or like yak tracks or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was not trying to do any ads for yak tracks, but we all know that we need a little help. Yesterday, the weather that you're saying you're enjoying and the sunny parts have been great, but starting a day or two ago, it started to get really funky in some locales where the gravel roads became essentially ice skating rinks.
Yeah, and it's still so humid, and I think it's been, raining for 2 days now, barely snowing outside.
And marginal snowfall, messy snowfall, power outages in some of the outlying townships. I like a winter day where I can ski, say a 20 to 25 degree sunny day. Michaela, that floats my boat. I can use blue wax on my cross-country skis and go for miles, not be too hot, not be too cold. But we were all overheating when we went snowshoeing on Sunday.
Yep. I think that's been part of the battle, like trying to find these my comfortable layers of clothes, because it's actually been so warm and humid that my typical kind of layering system, I've actually been too warm. So
you need some built-in venting somewhere.
Who knew?
What do the critters do?
What
do we learn from nature? How their coat is all or nothing, or do they start shedding?
I think it's the behavioral stuff. They know how to keep half in, half out, or put a leg out while they're sleeping out of the snow and dump some heat that way.
If we're supposed to be the top of the chain bipeds, why can't we figure some of these things out?
We overthink it probably.
I suppose.
Yeah.
So we've got beautiful ice formations at the picnic flow at Gooseberry Falls State Park. And then we've got, I just wanted to report in that we've had fascinating goings on around our bird feeding. It's allegedly a bird feeding station, but of course it's had red squirrels and it's had white-tailed deer able to get their heads above where some of our low-lying feeders are. And we thought we had compromised with them and we weren't really feeding deer. But then we started to see our suet logs, the kind that you buy in the supermarket in the red nylon bags, disappear one after the other, night after night. And we thought, those deer are kleptomaniacs. But it wasn't deer. It was raccoons.
So did you see them on your game camera or did you see
them? No, we saw them right out the window.
Oh.
Yes, because we like to view all of the feeding that's going on. And it was in broad daylight. It wasn't even catching a raccoon by flashlight. It was...
Did they climb up the pole?
Good question. My wife actually saw this happening. I did not. I think she yelled at them so badly that they went away to, they called a timeout.
And she scared them.
But knowing the stubbornness of a raccoon with obvious food nearby, it's probably going to be making lots of return visits. Any advice?
You need to up the hazing. Her just yelling one time is not going to like really scare them.
Right.
I mean, I would encourage her to even take pots and pans out there when she sees them and really just make a ruckus. Hazing wild animals respectfully, obviously not
right.
with physical harm, but just stressing them out a little bit is hopefully, I think that's the most ethical and the safest way to try to deter
trying
animals.
Trying to make the cost benefit.
Yep, it's going to be
a pain in their butt.
Too stressful for them to go to that food, but think of how good that food is.
Yeah.
So you need to think of how stressful you need to make it. So
yes.
They don't want to return, and usually noise and activity. You could try a flashlight, like strobe flashlight. Think of a few different ways you could try to
stress them out. Believe me, I thought even of a motion-censored siren, and I thought, I can't live with that inside my house.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I have to think harder on what the right approach is. Some people would say just cease doing the suet feeding, but the pileated and the downy and hairy woodpeckers would be heartbroken.
Yeah.
As well as the chickadees lately.
Yeah, I mean, or the other thing is we got to figure out how the raccoons are getting to it. My dad is facing this with squirrels in the metro area, and he's kind of making a plexiglass shield to put on the wires so the squirrels can't get to the bird feeders. So he's kind of facing some similar things too.
Yeah, we've witnessed people who do squirrel exclusion by having slippery aluminum and inverted funnels so that the squirrel goes to a dead end on its way up to the top of the pole. Seen a lot of creative strategies, and we know how persistent raccoons are. So I guess what you're saying is we have to out-persist them or come up with a really clever idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are any sightings nature-wise that as of the last time we spoke, we were talking about the big cats. Of course, you found sadly a bobcat roadkill, but any grand tracks that you've come across?
Well, one new animal sighting, you know, critter track kind of thing that I found was some beaver activity. So since it has been so warm, you know, the raccoons are out. The beavers are out when it's, I think, in the 10s and 20s. They'll come out commonly to harvest some cambium. So they're taking small saplings and they're eating that nice fresh layer of wood right under the bark. So that's the cambium part. They keep a breathing hole in the ice open. And so I found that in the entrance point. It kind of looks like an otter little chute.
Okay.
Just a nice worn down path that the beavers will go in and out of. And then I found some areas where they've been chewing down the little trees and their footprints are all over. So someone's definitely using an area by the river.
Well, we're visiting with Michaela Rice, a naturalist at Gooseberry Falls State Park. And Michaela, you said that the beavers were out of the lodge and harvesting some cambium. What have they got in the lodge with them when they tuck in when it's really cold in December and it looks like maybe they're not coming out for a few months?
Yeah.
What do they bring in there as their food stock?
The same thing. They're caching their trees. I know trees that they particularly enjoy would be birch and quaking aspen in particular. So yeah, they're kind of this cacher. I know the adults will work hard in the early winter to bring as many trees in the lodge that they can. And then when it's warm enough, they'll come out and get more material and maybe do some patching if they need to of the log. I could imagine there's been a lot of melting, actually. They might actually have to be doing some repairs, but there's no mud available for that. So they're just kind of probably stuck with what
they got. And I think in the average phenomena of winter, we usually have some period of January thaw. So maybe this is kind of a routine, as they do expect to get out when the weather permits. But it almost made me anthropomorphize that they were going like to the fresh produce section when you said they came out and got some fresh cambium on the stick, almost like corn on the cob.
I'm sure it's fresher than what they've had in their lodge for the past few months.
Right.
So I feel like it'd be good for them to get out and stretch their legs and
and kind of assess how's our lodge holding up, what is the state because the winters can vary dramatically, and we were well on our way to a massive snow winter when things have settled down a bit, and January doesn't look like it's, knock on wood. Is there some wood? I'm knocking on my own head that there may not be massive snowfalls yet in January, but February and March still loom unknown.
Yeah, we could get some more pack, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I've also had a few new bird species this year, at the park. So the finches, purple finch, and then I've seen grosbeaks at the feeders as well.
And have you been are we talking about the reddish grosbeaks or the evening grosbeak, or
I've
both?
I've had both.
Okay.
No rose-breasted, but
pine.
Pine and then the evening. Yep. And fantastic. I'm looking for crossbills. Do we have those here? Have you seen them?
I think of shrike when I hear crossbill.
Okay.
And we have seen a shrike so far this winter once. That really clears the deck at the feeder for a while.
Wow. I have not seen a shrike.
It was a very ephemeral. It was for an hour or two. It hovered around the yard. Then it was moved on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So crossbills, I believe, are I know they're related to the grosbeak and the finches, but they have those big seed cracking beaks, but they actually cross, and they're used to open pine cones.
Okay.
So,
because it's a head scratcher when you look at it, you say, what is the function of that amazingly entangled looking beak structure?
Yep. It's, I think, specifically for the pine cones.
Okay.
There's a similar bird, I believe, that lives in the Galapagos too, where Darwin did all of his studies, and it opens a similar type of like nut or fruit.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I haven't been keeping tabs to the far north, Michaela, but sometimes at this time of the year we start to have the appearance of the large owls that are more Arctic.
I have not
habitants.
So I try to follow some groups on Facebook too. The great gray, people have been kind of posting pretty commonly. I think that's more about the Saxim Bog area.
Okay.
I haven't seen any sightings for snowies or anything on the North Shore. Someone saw a lynx and actually got footage of its prey meal at Temperance. So that was cool. But I haven't seen any bird sightings. I think I saw some golden eyes or some ducks. Well, there were definitely ducks over Lake Superior driving home last week. I did some research, and apparently golden eyes will still stay on big bodies of water up in the north in the winter. So that's kind of my guess for
and
what
ducks those were.
And
we haven't formed much ice yet except in small coves or bays.
Yeah, there's none along the shore by Gooseberry. I went down to Canal Park last week and I didn't really see any ice down there either. So I don't think a lot of Lake Superior has ice.
Our DNR climatology team, Kenny and Pete down in St. Paul, have told us that can turn on a dime a bit, that if we get a cold snap towards the end of January and into February, the ice can suddenly
start. Does it go fast?
Formation can pick up, at least if wind conditions are right. So they were kind of telling me it's too early to call it as a non-ice lake season.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll keep my eyes open then.
Absolutely.
We'll keep talking about ice.
I know we have a packed show this Wednesday, so Michaela, I was going to leave it at maybe you summing up what events you might want to pick out to note to folks that are coming up in late January. I know we have the big one on our calendar for February 18th.
Yeah, that's really all I'm working towards.
Okay.
I don't have other public programs planned right now. I am excited. I am starting some nursing home programs, assisted living programs this month in Two Harbors.
Oh,
so I'm kind of focusing on that and new people to meet, new organizations to work with. So we're talking about birds at the end of this month. So that's kind of
excellent.
Where my head
You're
space
showing
is.
Up at the various residences.
Yeah,
that's
gonna
neat.
do an in-house program with
Fantastic.
Them every month. So Yeah, starting to get some material organized for that.
So we're going to start announcing to on our community events that the February 18th Candlelight event is happening. You might want to plug that one more time here.
Yeah, so we have the Candlelight event that's happening from 6 to 8:30 at the park on Saturday. If you're interested in volunteering, we're looking for volunteers before the program, during, and after the program. And you can email me at michaela.rice@state.mn.us. to get involved. Otherwise, bring your friends and family and come for either a hike, a snowshoe, or skiing during the event next month.
All that coming February 18th, shortly after Valentine's Day. So if you can find a way to celebrate Valentine's Day outside in the beautiful winter air, it could be special.
It'll be memory. Romantic.
Yes.
Candles everywhere.
So... Thank you, Michaela. It's always a pleasure, and we look forward to maybe discussing some of those topics that you're still doing some research on.
Yeah, absolutely.
This late winter here. Thanks, Michaela. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. That was Michaela Rice from Gooseberry Falls State Park, the park naturalist there. And this is Leo for KTWH.